brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
You know, do you have a right to run onto the field and protect a teammate?
And something like this in the history of the GHSA has really never happened.
Never happened. One of those 13-play, 13-minute drives where he's already eaten up a quarter and a half and you can't have the ball. Welcome to another round of Football Fridays in Georgia, the podcast edition. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. Large device or small, video, audio, or choice D, all of the above. We just outlawed choice C altogether. It's Nick and Nelly, and it is now heading into the semifinals with a bit of a codicil, an asterisk, something that we're going to be getting into with one of our guests this week about one particular class. But the Football Fridays in Georgia game last week, that one was crazy. Number one versus number 11 in the country.
That was insane. Carrollton looked incredible, utilizing both of those quarterbacks. Cam Wood just took it to the house. That was so fun to watch. And then their defense, how they were able to stop the Rams, was incredible.
You look at it, it's 14-0 Grayson, and you're sitting there going, okay, that's why they're the number one team in the country. And you have Carrollton score to make it 14-7. Get possession back. It's 14-14. It's a game. And we were all locked in. I mean, we were all locked in watching the game. And then it was just the adjustments that were made at the half.
Yeah.
Coming back out to where you literally 34 unanswered points. I think that gets lost in the sauce here a little bit. It was 14-0 Grayson.
Right.
Carrollton comes back to win it 34-14. They advance. They're going to take on North Gwinnett, left-hand side of the bracket, 6A.
Well, and don't forget, too, we witnessed those last two touchdowns that sealed the deal. Those happened in 3 minutes and 36 seconds. Bam, bam.
And so you have that on the left-hand side of the bracket, right-hand side of the bracket, Valdosta and Buford. Buford knocks off Douglas County. Valdosta holds off Walton in a game that was about half-pass crazy, too.
43-42. A heartbreaker for Bruner and company. But, man, that was really – that was a fun season to watch for Walton because I know we've talked about the whole seeding. They were, what, four seed?
They were a 4 seed coming in, yeah.
Right, right. But and even their record, it wasn't indicative of the type of play that they put out this season. So, but then, yeah, then we have Carrollton. They're back to being our game of the week. North Gwinnett is back to being our game of the week. We have seen Coach Godfrey. We have seen Coach King.
Yes.
So much this season.
Yes.
What are your quick thoughts on this matchup for Friday?
Good. It's going to be a good matchup and stuff. I think it's going to be interesting.
Who do you think has the edge?
Good luck on that. I love all my children equally. You're not getting that out of me.
You're like, I plead the fifth.
Look, I'm Switzerland during high school football
season. Fine. So then does Carrollton get a 1-point advantage for being the home team?
I would imagine that some folks would give that as much as 2.5 in some circles.
That is the worst take ever. I'm just kidding.
Like I said, when you get a home field advantage, some folks will sit there and go, oh, yeah, that's worth a 2.5.
Yeah. But this will wait. Will this be, this is the team's first meeting.
Crazy.
Of Carrollton and North Gwinnett.
Crazy.
How is that the first time these two perennial programs have not matched up yet?
Different sides of the bracket. That's how it happens sometimes.
So Carrollton's trying to reach the finals for the second season in the row. In a row. Obviously, they were the runner-up last year because they just knocked off the defending state champions. So this will be exciting.
Looking forward to that. We do have a bunch of other winners, a couple of first-timers that have made it into the semis, places like Sumter County. That's great for Will Rogers and that group.
Out of our semifinal contestants, if you will, is there a team, Nelly, that was a mystery all season and bam, they are the ultimate
Define
surprise.
Define mystery, Missy. Define
you didn't know what you were going to get from them. And then at the end of where we are, beginning of December, heading into the semifinals, you're like, oh boy, this is such a surprise, and I'm really excited to watch them play.
Oh, I mean, you look at, for me, like, so I'll give you Sumter County as an example. Sumter County is one of the best defenses in the state with Will Rogers. And they're in the same region as Carver-Columbus. And they get kind of lost in that region with Carver-Columbus because of what Jarvis Jones is able to do with that program, racking up all the points. And when those two played for the region title, we had Scorigami. 11-8.
Yeah.
So Will Rogers and Sumter County defense won the day in that particular game, but you know, Carver Columbus ends up winning, getting the region title. That's why they were the one in the and Sumter County was the two in that region.
Right.
So
right.
You end up with a very, very quiet, defensively oriented team like Will Rogers has at Sumter County, mm-hmm. and them making their way in on the left-hand side of the bracket into the Final Four in their class.
Okay. Hey, for any Sumter County listeners, mm-hmm. can you guys just give Coach Jones a what's
up? Carver.
Yeah.
Will
Carver,
Rogers
yeah.
answers the phone. I can text him now and he can
call. Because we want to get them on
mm-hmm.
on the show, the podcast. Mm-hmm. We're fun.
Yes, we are.
Nothing to be scared of around here.
No, just we would like Carver Columbus represented in the Western Frontier.
That's right.
So let's see if we can pin down everything that has happened involving Brunswick and Gainesville in a very, very short period of time. Let's see if we can do a Cliff's Notes here.
Let's just start in the fact that we were in studio.
Yes.
We were keeping up with the scores. Mm-hmm. This was week one of playoffs.
Yes.
Yes.
What's your bracket tie?
Right?
Yeah. What's your bracket tie?
Okay, that's great.
Thought it was week one. Yeah, it was week two.
They were off week one, but like round two.
Yeah, round two.
Round two. Yeah,
so round two right there.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we were in studio. I'm setting the scene.
Yep.
We were in studio, and then you're like, hey, mm-hmm. we need to check out the socials. There is some ish going down.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm. yeah. And
continue.
So, well, and then you end up with the video that became viral right. in several different locations. You had the
nationally.
You had the game broadcast, and that was popping up. And then you had people screen capping that and showing that this brawl that had happened after a 42-0 score late in the third quarter in this game down in Brunswick. And then you have players leaving sidelines. Mm-hmm. You have brawl happening on the field. Coaches and officials trying to separate both sides. Game is called, and so then you have the declaration of a winner in Gainesville, and then from there, the GHSA is having to administer the idea of suspensions because of folks leaving the sideline. Mm-hmm. Which is something that you are not supposed to do as a player. If you're not a player on the field and you enter the field of play, then that is a one-game suspension. And so Gainesville then takes exception to that and appeals the suspensions, which I believe numbered 39 for mm-hmm. Gainesville. And so they have an appeal with the Board of Trustees, with the GHSA, and in an hour and 45-minute Zoom call, you have Gainesville making they have their case, and the athletic director, Adam Lindsay, did a great job. It was itemized. It was like, okay, the players that we see and this, and this. And, mm-hmm. and what they were looking for was to have suspensions rescinded because they were out there defending their teammates. And so then you have, I believe it was 4 of the 39 rescinded. Mm-hmm. So that meant that 35 stuck. And so then Gainesville felt recourse to go to a court, and then that happens, and then the court gives the ruling in the affirmative for Gainesville, and then the GHSA appeals the ruling, and so that's where we are right now, walking down this road of legalese instead of football.
And the reason why this is such an intricate situation is because it's the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And something like this in the history of the GHSA has really never happened.
Never happened.
And there's not anything, to my knowledge, that we have discussed since this has been going on at another school nationally. I think there might have been one in Florida.
There was.
But not to this magnitude.
Right, not to this magnitude. There was, I think, Cook High a couple of years ago mm-hmm. went down a legal road when it came to an issue. And I think it had to do with being inserted into the playoffs or something like that. And I forget the semantics of it, but Cook did go to a court to have an issue discussed a handful of years ago. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember specifically the issue, but I do remember that has happened like in the last decade.
Right.
That's the only thing that I can think of that was this close.
So this is new territory. It's new territory for Dr. Tim Scott. Mm-hmm. It's new territory for the GHSA Executive Board. Mm-hmm. It's new territory for the ADs, for the head coaches, and for the players, right? Because mm-hmm. as a player, and this was what Coach Niblett has been harping on since this whole thing started, was we teach our guys to defend their teammates. And so when there's another team that's throwing punches, do you stand there and take the punch? Because a few helmets were torn off.
If you look at the video, you instantly see that one of the first parts of the the groups, you have a player having their helmet ripped off mm-hmm. as a part of the whole thing, and it escalates from there.
And we know that coaches train their players. Hey, our thing, it's three whistles, and then we stop.
That's what I've seen a lot of.
But if you're a player on the field and all of that is happening, how can you even hear said whistle?
Right.
Especially for those 11 defensive guys for Gainesville that were on said team watching mm-hmm. their teammates. So it's interesting because there are so many different sides. You have laws that could be black and white, but this is such a gray situation.
Yep. And so when we have the opportunity to have Dr. Tim Scott on, we take it. And then we try to make sure that we can get some questions asked. Even though we've got a boatload of questions, we try to at least lop the top off and go to page one. So here's our conversation. Dr. Tim Scott.
Yes, I feel like I need to exhale and take a deep breath. Dr. Scott, maybe you might want to do that as well. We know that you are having a great day, busy week. I love that positivity. That really, that speaks to me. That brings me such delight, Coach. Can you walk us through the timeline of communication this week and the decisions that are going to be made in regards to the situation going on in 5A right now?
Well, first of all, we're all sad that it happened. And I mean, when I say all, I mean, our office, Brunswick High School, Gainesville High School, mm-hmm. it's just an unfortunate situation. And we hate that. And so we're working through it. But my communication with all of the 5A schools, not just Langston and Gainesville, but also Roswell and Thomas County Central, Rome, all of them, is that we're going to communicate every day, mm-hmm. Until we can, till we have an answer and we open up the calendar together and see, how we can roll everything out. And so I told them on Saturday after I talked to them that, hey, we'll touch base on Monday. And, I may not, as of right now, have no information, but I'm still going to touch base with them just to say, hey, guys, hadn't heard anything. We'll touch base again on Tuesday or whatever, because a lot of times we're having to wait on a decision from an appeals court or something like that. So it's just, a really unfortunate situation. We don't have any other information on that, but to just try to make sure we stay in touch with each other each day.
So if we can, and as much information as you can volunteer, obviously knowing and understanding that since you are in a legal proceeding, there's only so much information that you are allowed to give, considering that it's currently under appeal. What I'd like to do is go through this process of evaluation and how the decisions were, how they were approached when it came to the GHSA side of things and the conversations that were had and Zoom calls with Gainesville and stuff that have us to this particular point. So can we walk all the way back to game night in Brunswick and work our way forward?
Mm. Well, John, anytime we have a situation, there's obviously a game report from the officials, and the officials give that game report, and we look at it, and we examine the bylaws, and we try to make sure we interpret them and remain consistent in how we do that, and that's what we did in this situation. And we look at video that we have, and we ask the schools for their response as well, and just kind of work through the process that way and try to come to a decision. And then whatever decision we come to as an office, then the school has an opportunity to appeal those decisions. And so that's kind of where we're at.
So the incident happens at Glenn County Memorial. And I imagine that your phone or social media or somebody's phone was blowing up and it was like, hey, we probably need to be on guard. Hey, something's going on with Brunswick and Gainesville. How long did it take for the GHSA to kind of sit there and scramble the forces and sit there and go, okay, we got to look at this. We got to contact Gainesville. We got to contact the officials, all these moving parts. I'm sure Glenn County's athletic department was a part of this. How long did it take to assemble all of the forces so you had all the information that you had to walk forward in this case?
Well, we were able to get stuff to the schools on Monday. Obviously, Gainesville was declared the winner of the game. We made sure we got them their stuff first. And then after that, we got Brunswick their information that we had to provide to them. And so that's kind of where how we did that. But we actually, both athletic directors, I was in contact with those on Friday night. And then again on Saturday and Sunday, you know, working through the process.
So have there been, gosh, I feel like I don't know which question to ask if I'm honest. There are so many.
Just go ahead and ask.
Yeah. So the ruling from the judge, how could potentially that impact the GHSA after the fact?
Well, you know, we'll just have to, you know, look at it and see what happens. But when, you know, there's a state law that citizens of Georgia have a right to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a game and things are going on that maybe your teammates don't think should happen to you, you know, do you have a right to run onto the field and protect a teammate? Or, you know, the other part of that is if they, I think the, it says, if they're not ejected by the official, that the judge made a decision that we cannot review film to do that. So we'll just have to wait and see where some of that ends up and discuss and see where we're at. And do we need to change the bylaws or do we need to, you know, what do we really need to look at? I think safety is vitally important. One of the reasons that the bylaw states how it is because you have seven officials on the field. You have 22 players on the field. So if something breaks out on the field, you know, you've got to be able to stop it. And we train officials, and officials are trained to use their voice and use their whistle in a fight situation. They're not supposed to grab players and that kind of stuff, but they use their whistle and they use their voice. And then the plan, you've heard this, that every school, every team should have a safety plan mm-hmm. if this situation happens. And most send one, two, three coaches onto the field to the whatever's taking place on the field. And the rest of the coaches usually turn their back to the field and make sure they keep their individuals on the sideline. You got a great example of that with Ole Miss on Saturday, mm-hmm. if you watch the game.
Yep.
And the reason we do that is it's a lot easier for a few coaches and seven officials to take care of some players on the field than it is for those same officials and a few coaches to take care of 80 to 100 players on the field. And so we're really, safety is first and foremost there. And we want to do that. And I totally understand that coaches sometimes don't feel like officials are calling it tight enough. And we have a process where they can submit unsatisfactory officials reports. But that's where we kind of where we are and kind of how the process works.
When a school or an institution wants to become a member of the GHSA, mm-hmm. what's the process to become a member of the GHSA? Is it application, then review, and then thumbs up, thumbs down? What does it take to become a member institution inside the GHSA?
Yeah, so there is an application that they have to fill out with a lot of school information on it. You have to have a minimum of 150 students at your school, 9 through 12. And we have a few schools that are right at the minimum. And most of those schools don't play all the sports and stuff, but they may play basketball or do cross country, or I think we have one that just plays soccer, but anybody has that opportunity to join our organization and be a part of it. There are timelines, obviously in the middle of a 2-year cycle. If you're going to join during that year, you would only be able to play JV or ninth grade or non-region contest. But You have to also let us know by a certain time period, you know, early February, March, you know, no later, I think, than April 1st, if you're planning on joining for the next fall. But if you're in the middle of a two-year cycle, we would make sure you understood that you would not be able to play varsity because a lot of the contracts are already set for the two-year cycle.
So then when you get the official okey-doke from the GHSA that you're a member, do you put your hand on the bylaws and sit there and say, and left hand in the air kind of a thing? You know, how does it work? Do you sit there and say, I will faithfully execute the bylaws of the GHSA as a part of this? How does that work?
No, they agree to abide by our bylaws. We don't actually ask them to swear it in, but they do agree to abide by the bylaws. Yes, sir.
Okay, because that was just one of the things that stuck in my head. You mentioned the bylaws. I got to follow up, and then you can go.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so then with the bylaws themselves, the bylaws as written, printed, you know, however they're represented, electronic form, whatever. How long are the bylaws in place, and is there a renewable period or a deadline during a fiscal year or a school year where you can sit there and say, okay, we need to look at the bylaws, they're up for renewal? Is there a process for that?
We do it each year. We are continually looking at bylaws, and we have a representative. Okay, so the executive committee, there's a representative from every region on the executive committee. And then there's a second representatives, or from that those representatives, we select one for each classification. And then from those, we have the different committees, such as the reclass committee, the trustees, you have a football, a baseball, basketball. So at any point in time, a region, and let's just say, the region that Gainesville's in, somebody wants to question or talk about a bylaw, they give it to their region representative. And if it's one that's takes care of eligibility, then that would go to the eligibility committee. If it was one that was about reclass, that goes to the reclass committee. If it was a bylaw that had to do with a sport such as basketball, soccer, whatever, it would go to that committee. And they talk about it, work on it, and then they pass it on if they give their mark on it up to the trustees or the full executive committee finally for approval.
So I wanted a little clarity on this. We've been talking about the members and these member schools, they agreed to be in, you know, in this, the GHSA, and then they agreed to be governed by said bylaws, by the rules, so to speak. So what's your response when you have some of these member schools where, quite frankly, they're kind of going, well, rules is rules. We should abide by them and keep continuing, you know, towards what the rules say. And then maybe the next year when you readjust, reevaluate the bylaws, then deal with maybe whatever happened this year, next year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but in this case, these folks are in the playoffs. We understand that. And I feel like we followed the bylaw and that's always going to be important. And so we see where we're at. I think it's important that we continue to look at the bylaws because the organization, when you go back and look at it, it's grown a lot since it's started and things are constantly changing and especially in the scope of high school athletics and NIL and a lot of other things that have kind of changed some stuff. And so you always want to make sure you're out in front of things and you're doing the best job you can to be fair and open and provide a safe, competitive environment.
So this was technically a gray area from bylaws that are black and white.
Well, whether it's a gray area depends on who you talk to.
Right. Okay, that's
you
fair.
Know, so understand that. That's why we mm-hmm. have the. That's why we have the conversation. That's why we have the opportunities to appeal.
And in all of this, you got another busy day on Wednesday. That it's like you got all this stuff going on, and then you tack on Wednesday to what's going on. So your week is busy, and then it gets busier later on in the week. Nothing like having busy on top of busy, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, we went through the reclass process and now, you know, and the people appealed and all that was over with. And so you have regions 1 through 7. And what we're doing is we're asking the full executive committee just to ratify those. And then, you know, we got a few couple of other things. I think officials pay, we, you know, try to make sure we adjust that every reclass cycle too, you know, help those guys out. And we appreciate what they do. And we're, you know, what our PSR formula is, just some things like that, that the full executive committee will take care of on Wednesday.
Before we part ways, is there anything else that you'd like to just clarify or things to maybe clean up? Maybe it's, you know, preconceived notions or confusion. Is there anything else? This is your moment to put it out there of saying, hey, this is what we have going on. And this is what we hope to gain from this situation.
Well, you know, one of the things, this have not been not has not been a very good situation on anybody's behalf. And certainly the schools have worked with us and we appreciate that. And, but we want to make sure that we can do the right thing and continue to try to get things right. And, as I told the trustees at the appeals hearing, I said, hey, if we've missed one, then, you know, let's correct it because we want to make sure we do what's right there. And we want to continue to do that. But we always want to be open and transparent and look at what we do and make sure that we're trying to become a better organization. And I think our executive committee and trustees has that in mind and they want to do that. And that's something they continually work for. And, you know, I have to tip my hat to all those folks that I think they do a great job and I appreciate the work they do.
Well, Dr. Scott, obviously on a very, very difficult and busy week, we can't thank you enough for carving out time and more like shoehorning time into your hyper busy schedule to answer some questions. And I know we probably could have gone for another 45, 50, you know, 17 hours discussing things, but you got stuff to do and, you know, we're going to be seeing you soon. So just once again, thanks again during a very, very busy week catching up with us here on the show. We'll be keeping an eye on things and we'll be dialing you up pretty soon. We're pretty sure about that.
Hey, man, listen, I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate what you guys do. Y'all have a good one.
So time moves forward, as does this podcast in whatever form you are consuming it. And so, of course, that means that news breaks. And that's why I'm here wearing makeup and a golf shirt and sitting in an unfamiliar chair. So here's your update as to where things stand now. Later Monday, after we had finished the taping of the podcast and the interview with Dr. Tim Scott, GHSA came down with a decision, and it came down officially about 20-4 on Monday afternoon. So here's the official decision that was rendered that affects all the parties. So now, Dr. Tim Scott announced Gainesville and Langston Hughes, they're going to play despite the organization, meaning the GHSA's appeal of the injunction that was granted to Gainesville High School last week. Judge's ruling overturned the suspension of the 34 Gainesville players who were penalized for leaving the sideline and fighting with Brunswick 2 weeks ago. So now, that means updating everything in your brackets. The quarterfinal with Langston Hughes and Gainesville is officially rescheduled. It is now going to be this Friday, December the 5th, and the Red Elephants will be able to compete. And this is the GHSA's words. The Red Elephants will be able to compete with all of their players. The delay also impacts the opposite side of the bracket. Roswell and Thomas County Central were all set to play this Friday in their half of the bracket to move that half of the bracket forward. That has now stopped. It has been rescheduled. That semifinal matchup is now going to be Thursday, December 11th. So that gets pushed down the road till the 11th. They're not playing this Friday, the 5th. They get to wait an extra 6 days, so they're going to be on the 11th. Also, the winner of Langston Hughes and Gainesville is going to play Rome on the 11th, so that gets everything lined up when it comes to finals and such. So, recap really quickly. On the 5th, you're going to have Langston Hughes and Gainesville play. Winner of that one takes on Rome on the 11th. Roswell and Thomas County Central were all set to play this Friday. They are not. So now the 5A semifinals now all push to the 11th. That affects the schedule at the Benz. The 5A and the 6A finals will now be reversed. So now the 6A final, traditionally your last championship at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is being moved forward a day. It will be the last contest on Tuesday, and the 5A final will now move after 6 days. It will now be Wednesday. Traditionally, it is the 4A final is your last game on Monday. The 5A final is your last game on Tuesday. The 6A final is your last game on Wednesday. Now, they're reversing the 5A and the 6A finals to where it is now 4A, 6A, 5A this year at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that will be how the season ends. It'll end with the 5A championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on the 17th at 8 o'clock. And so the 6A, 5A, they swap. And so now Tuesday, December 16th, will be your 6A final, and the 5A final will now be on Wednesday, the 17th. That's your update of updates. We now resume Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, however you're consuming it. And it's always good to get the intel heading into this week from as many folks as we can get, whether we're talking coaches, administrators, what have you. It's great to have these conversations because we are getting down to the final fours in each of the classifications. Once again, you've got a bookmark 5A. When we know more, we'll let you know more. GPBsports.org on the news side of things. Just keep your ears peeled to all your social medias and set your notifications, as the kids say. And so let's see. We've done six.
6A is set.
We've talked five.
Okay.
So now that, and have we talked a little bit of four, or we haven't?
Let's talk four. We've got Creekside. They're playing Kell.
Pride.
Yep. And then we've got Benedictine against Marist.
Yeah.
Knocked off state defending champs North Oconee.
Yeah, and it was a walk-off field goal for Marist there. And Benedictine, you look at the top of the bracket, Benedictine and Creekside. Yeah. So you have Creekside, who has scored more than 70 twice. They've scored more than 90 once.
That's insane.
And you had Benedictine, who went north of 80 last round. Then at the bottom of the bracket, you have Marist, where if Alan Chadwick had his way, he would have one of those 13-play, 13-minute drives where he's already eaten up a quarter and a half and you can't have the ball.
That'll be a fun one to follow.
That game will be over in about an hour and 20 minutes if Alan Chadwick has his way. Kel, fantastic work by them, really thumping Cartersville. That was unexpected. Mm-hmm. So Creekside and Kel on the left-hand side, and you've got Benedictine and Marist. Talk about contrasting styles. That's on the right-hand side. AAA, what do you got?
All right, let's go to AAA.
Jefferson and West Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson, number one team ranked, and you end up with them knocking off Cairo and then West Lawrence. You're going to go up against the number one rusher in the state on the left-hand side of things.
Sandy Creek had a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that.
I mean,
over Douglas. 34-0. And then they're going to go up against LaGrange.
It is a rematch of a region game.
Rematch of a region game. And we had Coach Napier on the postgame show.
Yeah, it was good to have him on the bus.
He was on the bus.
Yes, those were always fun. So
bus
Sandy Creek
are our
and LaGrange, you know they're not going to be any secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up with Jefferson and West Lawrence. Jefferson caught up with Travis Nolan, the head coach with Jefferson, and he has said that, you know, we're not a bunch of five stars. We're just a really good team.
He did say that.
And I think that you're going to need a really good team to go up against the number one rusher in the state. And so, you know, north of 2,200 yards, and he's going to find holes. And when we've had Kip Burdett on the postgame show, it's been fun to see how West Lawrence is shaped up. So, once again, Jefferson's defense is going to have to come up big in this one as they take on West Lawrence. West Lawrence is team number four, Jefferson team number one. So West Lawrence heads to Jefferson. And
now we head to AA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the left side of the bracket, the team that you were just talking about when it comes to Sumter County.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to face Hapeville.
Yep, Hapeville Charter. And we had Winston Gordon on the bus.
We did.
It's always fun to catch up with Winston Gordon. And you look at Hapeville Charter, no one wants to play him. But Winston Gordon, he'll go anywhere, any place, anytime, twice on Tuesday, line it up on I-75, you surround him with the headlights, and he's good to go.
That's what he said. He goes, we've played everywhere.
Yes,
already.
Not kidding.
Away games do nothing to him.
No.
He is unbothered.
Nope. They beat Columbus in round number one, then went to Baxley and beat Appling County, and then they go to Morgan County. So they've been on the road for the last two, and they're going to take on Sumter County. I'm not anticipating a whole lot of points in this one, just because of the defense that we've seen from Sumter County, but you've got the number one and number two teams out of the same region, the top of the bracket, Sumter County, Carver-Columbus. Carver-Columbus, they just keep on rolling. Thompson actually scored on him. Thompson did a lot more than what a lot of other folks have not done against Carver-Columbus this year, and it was tied at one point second quarter. But then Carver comes in, they just put the pedal down, and it's going to be Burke County. Burke County wins a Donnybrook. 41-40 the final. Burke County in Rockmart. Last second win for Burke County and Franklin Stevens. So once again, the pedigree of Burke County and Franklin Stevens. Franklin Stevens makes deep runs, and once again, Burke County making a deep run into the playoffs.
There you go. All right, for AD2,
sure.
Which I'm not saying AD2. I'm saying
Class A
Division II. Yes. John, I feel like ever since I started covering football for GPB, Clinch County has always been one of those teams that has just continuously brought excellence.
Didn't matter.
And they're going to face Bowdoin, another team that, you know.
Left-hand side of the bracket.
Left-hand side of that's going to be a killer game with Clinch versus Bowdoin.
Heavyweight and heavyweight.
Yeah.
And Clinch County, because they're the Region 2 champ. Bowdoin, because they're the Region 7 champ. You travel north.
Yeah.
Bowdoin goes to Homerville. So I think that Rich Finley and Bowdoin, they probably are going to leave once this show is over to go to Homerville, because that is, you're going to Valdosta and you're going east. You're going to the swamp. And if you bypass Homerville, you're in the swamp and you're in Waycross.
Mm.
That's what you're looking at. So, Ambassador Jeremy, if you could.
I'm sure he has to get a lift in first.
Yes.
Though.
So, yes, no doubt. So, Ambassador Jeremy, if you could determine the distance from Bowdoin High School to Clinch County High School in Homerville, Georgia. That is our mileage trip of the week. And while he's looking for the math there, Early County, who has always done well in Southwest Georgia, Region 1 champ, they have advanced. They knocked off Screven County. They're going to take on Lincoln County, who had no problem with Brooks. And so we had Lee Homskis on the show, on the postgame show, to discuss that one. And so Lincoln County is going to travel to Blakely. So that's another long one where you're going basically from Augusta to Blakely. Mm-hmm. That's another long one, but I don't quite think it's as long as Clinch to Bowdoin. And that takes care of Class A Division 2. Class A Division 1, Hurd County, walk-off field goal. They knocked off Fitzgerald.
39-38.
And so you end up with that one. Toombs County, your defending champ. Toombs County, they're going to go to Hurd. Hurd, everything goes through everybody in Franklin. Right-hand side, Worth County, top-ranked team in the state. They have been most of the season. Everybody at Worth County, team number 3. Pepperell. This is a good rebirth for, and this is another topic for Ambassador Jeremy, considering he's from that part of the state. So Lindale represent, I think, is what the kids say.
Trying to look through the glass.
I know, really?
You can turn me on. there I am. Okay, I didn't know my mic was on.
Your mic was on.
Yeah, so first about Pepperell, I went to Darlington and Rome, but I lived in Lindale.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still hear those yellow milk jugs torturing me in my sleep. They were the worst. But they will bring a metric ton of milk jugs with them wherever they are. Where are they going?
Pepperell is going
to Worth.
To Worth County. So they're going to Sylvester. So it's Lindale to Sylvester is where they're going.
That's a long way, too.
Yes, it is.
I feel like those are great names for future children.
Lindale Noto Palmer and Sylvester Noto Palmer.
I'm just saying, you know, for a coach, if they're looking, you know, as they win and they continue their run, if you will, that could be a great name of a kid.
Yes. And so then in the private side of things, we had Jason Cameron on the show from Calvary Day. They're going to take Fellowship Christian. Fellowship Christian is going to be hosting that one. And then you have GAC and Hebron Christian.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be a really good one.
Yeah. So Hebron Christian put 63 on Prince Avenue. And so you have that Final Four there as well.
I was going to say GAC, they won big 49-14.
Yep. And it wasn't that close. And they won at Athens Academy, too. So it was always, cool to see some of the faces come back in that might not have been deep in the playoffs as we've had before.
So yeah. I can't believe it. We're getting close, Nelly. We're getting close.
Yep.
The Final Four have been locked in for each classification.
Save one.
And
So we got to figure that one out.
We got to figure that one out.
So when we know more about what's going on in 5A, we'll obviously let you know about what's going on in 5A. Once again, keep an eye. Set your notifications, GPB News, GPB Sports, all the social medias. And when we know, we'll let you know, and we'll follow along as well.
John,
and
let me give you these
mileage. Mileage.
You need the mileage.
Yes, we do.
So Pepperell in Lindale down to Worth County and Sylvester.
Uh-huh.
It's 243 miles.
Okay, is that all?
And then Bowdoin, where'd you say Bowdoin's going?
Bowdoin's going to Homerville in Clinch County High School.
Bowdoin to Clinch County is 274 miles.
Okay, I've got another one.
Okay.
Buford to Valdosta.
Okay.
Ooh,
263 miles.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean,
on a bus.
My goodness. And Valdosta, so they've won ever since they lost to Colquitt.
Mm-hmm.
They went on the road to Tift, but John, they've won all of their home games. I think there were five home games in a row. That is a tough environment.
Make sure that they have as many home games as possible.
I mean, Buford's going to be walking into a wildcat den.
Yeah, it's
but I have a question.
We'll see if we have an answer.
Since Buford has a $63 million stadium,
mm-hmm.
what kind of buses do they ride when they go to Valdosta?
Oh, I'm sure they're styling and profiling
I'm
in
sure
the coaches.
I'm sure they're tricked out. Maybe we can ask Coach App to send us a picture.
Yeah.
What that looks like on
or
the inside.
Or we get in post game if it, you know, we, if they win. Well, no, it's, that might be, no, it's a late start. It's an 8 o'clock start in Valdosta. So unless the game is over early.
Yeah.
We'll have to just.
He could potentially call in, be our last caller.
It could be.
He could be walking off the field.
Yeah, it could.
And when, you know, is it Cody? Will Cody be the sideline? Cody will be sideline?
Not for that one.
Not for that
for,
one.
For Buford. For,
oh, no. Oh, yeah. My bad. I'm getting
We're on the
confused.
Other side of the bracket.
We're on the other side of the bracket.
So what we need to do is we need to catch up with Tony Wolf,
yes.
the athletic director
hand
at
Buford. Hand him a phone immediately
Tony,
after the game.
We need you to hand Coach App a tablet so he can do the Zoom call with us as he's walking off the field.
Or
victorious.
Coach Felton.
Yeah. Either way.
Either way. All
and,
things considered, that's yes. the only way we're going to get
right.
to know
the
what
winner
the
of that one.
Like.
The winner of that one's going to have a tablet on the field,
yep.
and we will effort that. And speaking of Coach Felton, he got stuck in meetings, and so it's meetings with very powerful people, and we want him to make sure that he doesn't get into any trouble by not being in those meetings.
Right.
So he was supposed to join us this week, but we got to run down the Final Fours. We got to run down the situation going on in 5A, and we got to run down a boatload of stuff. Let me turn to this way and see who's on the other side of the glass. So it looks like it's what? Marky Mark, and it's obviously it's Ambassador Jeremy. Oh, well, look at President Reagan here. President Reagan's in here this week. Is the unknown intern with us, Marky Mark? As I surprise the heck out of him, and he's got to drag the microphone over.
May I just say you have great vision, John, because I can't see anything except for a red light.
He is not in today.
So is anybody else in?
We have Kevin back here.
Oh, G-Money.
G-Money.
Right, so G-Money's back there. Okay. So once again, letting everybody know, it is our game of North Gwinnett and Carrollton.
Mm-hmm.
And left-hand side of the bracket in 6A to determine who makes it to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yep.
So 7:30 on air, 7:36 kick on all the social medias and all the GPBs. So you can watch that one on the left-hand side of the bracket as
yep.
a part of our full weekend.
And then you'll see us pop in probably 7:40. Ish.
Well, no, between 7:30 and 7:36, because we got to be in that pregame thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 7:34.
Okay.
And so then, so like 7:34, we're in, then we come on at halftime,
yep.
and then we are your post-game travelers to let you know who's making it to Mercedes-Benz.
The post-game chaos.
One more closer. So, once again, thanks for hanging out with us here for another go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for accessing us once again. Large device or small. It's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of news to cover, and we're going to cover it with you and be with you every step of the way. Yes, ma'am.
You said, however, you were, you don't have your paper today, and it's really throwing me off, Nellie. I'm not going to lie. You were using your phone
mm-hmm.
to look everything up
mm-hmm.
versus having your stacks of cardstock, and I don't know what to do with that.
It was that thick.
I know, but it's like your baby. It's like you remember in elementary school where you had to take care of an egg or you had to take care of like a baby doll and take it with you everywhere. Like the cardstock
sure.
is your egg and baby doll, and you don't have it today. But job well done, friend. It's all up there in your noggin.
Yeah, and that's why you've got that. But the thing is that she was giving me papers. She was literally slipping me paper.
Hey,
and letting
people
me
helping
that.
People. It's a beautiful thing.
That's
you're
where,
welcome.
That's where we are. All right. Nick and Nellie, we're out. Enjoy your games. We'll catch up with you Friday night.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.